I'm simply talking about, you know, a slap on the backside or something's wrong. You take their hand and you smack them on the hand. Don't do that again. You know, a little bit of discipline. One man who I'll also be talking to in a moment is Pastor Stephen Anderson. Now, he's from Arizona. We spoke to Stephen last year. And he physically disciplines his children with a paddle. Yeah, it's kind of like a table tennis rackety thing. Isn't it? A paddle, a small paddle. I'd be very interested to hear what you think of his parenting methods. If the kids are bold, back. That's it. You need some discipline. But a question I want to ask you tonight, and I want you to send in a text to either yes or no, because as you know, Bernardos are calling next year for the government to bring in an outright ban on smacking your kids in the home or in public. I'm asking you, is it right? Is it acceptable for a parent to physically discipline their child? Do you think that parents should discipline their children? Is there anything actually wrong with that? If you think it's okay, there's nothing wrong with it, bit of discipline every now and again, did you no harm, just text a yes to 53544 for 20 cents. If you think no, completely out of the question, no, that's wrong, that's child abuse, can't go down that road again, well then text the word no to 53544. All right, if you want to give us a call, you can talk to Pastor Stephen Anderson if you like. You can give us a call. I was going to say his number is. No, his number. I'm not going to say his number. But our number here at the radio station, if you want to give us a call and get involved in the conversation, is 1850-410-494. I want you to be honest. That's 1850-410-494. But keep those texts coming in at 53544 for 20 cents. Okay, I want to go to line one. First of all, I do want to talk to Pastor Stephen Anderson. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks
Pastor
for having
Anderson,
me on.
How are you?
Great. Okay,
well, I'm saying afternoon, of course, because in Arizona now it's over 3 o'clock in the afternoon, isn't it?
Exactly. It's 2 o'clock.
All right. Oh, 2 o'clock. I apologize. All right. So, Pastor Anderson, a lot of people are going to say, you know, this kind of went out with the Indians, as we say over here. It's an old saying, a cliche. This went out a long time ago. We live in the real world now. It's a very modern world, politically correct. You can't be smacking your kids or slapping your kids. Do you believe it's okay to slap your kids?
Absolutely. You know, times may change for some people, but for a Bible-believing Christian, you know, the Word of God never changes. And the Bible's real clear. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. So this is a command in the Bible. Just as much as the Bible says thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not kill, it says thou shalt beat him with the rod. About your son. And so the Bible's real clear that we as Christians should be physically disciplining our children. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the world's doing.
Yeah, but if you're going to take that literally, you know, beating him with a rod, that sounds pretty, you know, pretty tough, isn't it, for a young child of maybe 4 or 5? I am assuming you don't beat your child with a rod, but you do take a paddle. Give me an example for, you know, of the last time that you would have disciplined one of your children.
Well, obviously the discipline has to be appropriate for the age. Obviously a very small child needs light discipline, you know, compared to an older child. So I'm not talking about using a bunch of force on a little tiny child. But for example, you know, one of my children is given a chore to do. They don't get it done. You know, we catch them maybe playing and fooling around instead of doing the job that they were supposed to do. They're going to get a spanking. They're going to get physically disciplined.
And what age group are you talking about there? Because I know you got a lot. How many kids have you got with that? You got a lot of kids, haven't you?
I've got 7 and the 8th is on the way.
Okay, congratulations, you're a busy
Thank you.
Man. Okay, so, but I mean, the teenage age group, let's say, you know, 12, 13 years of age,
right?
Be it boy or girl. By the way, is there different forms of discipline for boy and girl, or does it matter?
No, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so how would you discipline your, you know, your 12, 13-year-old if they're not carrying out their chores or helping around the home? How would you discipline them?
Well, my oldest is 12, and so I'd give him a spanking. I'd basically take off my belt and give him a spanking. I mean, it's that simple.
So you take your belt off the leg. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why. Belt. Yeah. That's why you're never gonna see me wearing suspenders because I have 7 children, and so, you know, that okay. One of them needs to get spanked from time to time.
Okay, and how many, I know I'm trying to get a kind of image of how you would do this for our listeners, of course. Would you put them over your knee? Would you put them over the sofa? And how many spanks would you give them with the belt?
You know, I'd probably just have them bend over the bed or maybe just bend over the sofa or even just stand there and just maybe three, four swats with the belt.
Mm-hmm. And will they accept that? Do they accept that as, you know, I've done something wrong, I deserve this, and they just get on with it then? Do they accept that?
Of course, absolutely. And in fact, one of the reasons why spanking is such an effective form of discipline is that it's immediately over with. You know, with other forms of discipline, mm-hmm. timeouts or groundation, you know, the punishment drags on. And there's a lot of bad feelings between parent and child. But with a spanking, you know, you fix the problem, you get it over with. And often I'll spank one of my children and, you know, 20, 30 seconds after getting a pretty hard spanking, they're laughing and smiling and everything's fine because, you know, the problem's been corrected and we can move on. And I notice that parents who don't use physical discipline, they often get very angry with their children and they're more likely to yell at their children and get mm-hmm. angry and give them a really long lecture, which is actually bad for the relationship between parent and child. This is just a quicker, easier way to not only punish, but then immediately forgive and move forward.
But isn't that a case that you're the adult and, you know, and you should withhold your anger if your kid, like, look, I have three kids. I know what it's like raising kids. It's tough. You don't get a manual for them, okay? They don't come with a book. But in saying that, there's been times where I've been so tempted, you know, just, you know, when they're cheeky straight to your face, you almost feel like you just want to slap them there and then. But you don't. You hold back. You restrain yourself. You're the adult. You're the intelligent one. And I basically take him by the arm up to his bedroom. You're off your Xbox for the rest of the afternoon. You know, I mean, does that not work as well?
Well, I definitely agree that we need to restrain our anger as adults. We should stay calm and collected, and sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, and when you have a child mm-hmm. that's rebellious and disobedient and mouthing off, and you have no recourse, you have no way to fix the problem, over time you could become frustrated and lose your temper. Whereas if you have the recourse to spanking, you can solve the problem, the child's behavior is going to improve. You know, this whole thing of taking away the Xbox, you know, withholding of privileges. First of all, my children don't even play an Xbox in the first place. You know, my children don't just rot their brains on TV and video games all day. You know, so that mm-hmm. wouldn't work in my house because we don't have a TV or video games. So this whole thing of just withholding privileges, it doesn't work. It's not an effective form of discipline.
Well, what do your seven kids do for entertainment? Don't get me wrong, I don't believe that these games are necessary either.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's times I often get a bit frustrated by that whole thing that they play video games, but we do have restrictive times that they're allowed to play them for a certain amount of time per day, and that's it. And at the weekends, maybe a little bit more. But in saying that, I mean, what do your kids do for entertainment? If they don't have TV, they don't have games, they don't do what other kids are doing, essentially, what do they do?
Well, they basically do the same thing people have been doing for thousands of years before these things were invented, but we have great weather in Arizona, so our children are playing outside a lot. They're riding their bikes up and down the street. Mm-hmm. They're swimming. They're running. They read books. They play with toys. I mean, they do all kinds of things. There's a lot to do besides, you know, watching The Idiot Box.
On The Idiot Box. is it that much of a bad influence on them, Stephen? Yeah.
Well, not only is it a bad influence, but it just makes you stupid. I mean, reading books. My children spend a few hours a day reading books of their own volition. I mean, they want to read. They love reading. And they have all kinds of books that they read for fun, and then they have other books that they read for their schoolwork. And so they're going to end up a lot smarter spending a few hours a day reading than spending a few hours a day, you know, watching Spider-Man and SpongeBob. I don't think anybody would dispute that.
Or Miley Cyrus bending over on the stage.
Exactly. And I don't want my children being influenced by that either.
All right. Okay. Well, look, I want to take a few calls. If you want to give us a call, Pastor Stephen Anderson, there you go. You heard it from the man's mouth. He said discipline is no harm, doesn't do his kids any harm. They're playing, they're acting the fool 10 minutes later again. They're all friends again. He believes it's a better form of discipline. And it's a form of discipline that, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your opinion, seems to be outdated nowadays. And people believe that maybe this is what's wrong with society, that we're not disciplining our children enough. Well, Stephen says we should be. He takes his belt off and gives them a couple of lashes, so to speak, with his belt over the sofa or over the bed. I'm asking you quite simply, is that a good form of discipline? Is he right? If you want to give us a call, you can. The number is 1850-410-494. Now, Roy, you kind of kicked this topic off, Roy, when you called into today's show and said that you believe this was lacking in society when we talked about this ADHD. You said the kids were badly behaved and weren't being disciplined.
Right. Let me stress now first that I was never slapped about the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't given the belt.
Right. Okay.
It was the last resort, I guess, and it was mostly issued by my mother
mm-hmm.
because she'd say, "Look, do it one more time, and when your father gets home, OK, Okay, so she had tried several things up to that point.
Yeah.
Okay, so this wasn't the first thing that happened straight off the bat.
Okay, so but bold little Roy wouldn't listen.
Well, you know, there were times, where, you know, someone would say, oh my God, today they'd say, Jesus, has he got ADHD? But there were just days you had too many sweets, or you were a bit hyped up, or, you know, you were trying to impress someone who was, you know, hanging around in your house with you, and how far you could push your own mother, or something, you know. Kids do this. They kind of act up in front of other people.
Well, Roy, have you got kids now?
No, I don't.
Okay, if you have kids now.
The nieces and all my friends have kids, and I see this behavior. I'll tell you a little story now, and this is just a funny little story. And my buddy, his son is five, and he does the timeout thing,
okay.
5 minutes. And it works 95% of the time. Says, don't get room for 5 minutes. He comes up after the 5 minutes with a big long face on him, and he waits basically for his father to smile at him.
Right, okay. Once some sort of form of acceptance.
He knows he's forgiven. He knows everything's in the past.
Right.
Now, if he's very, very bold, and he comes up after the 5 minutes and he doesn't get the smile, he knows he's on a thread. He knows that he could be sent back down. Now, he was sent back down one day for just being stubborn. And his father went down a couple of minutes later. He said, it's very quiet. I'll go down and have a look. He went down. And in passing his own bedroom on his way to the child's bedroom, he saw the little boy on top of his bed peeing on his bed. No.
I shouldn't laugh.
No. I laughed when he told me. And I said to him, what did you do? He said, I bust out laughing. You know?
Well, I can only imagine what Pastor Stephen Anderson would do if one of his children was peeing on his bed.
Well, fair enough.
Pastor Anderson, that would be a belt-off job, wouldn't it? That would be the belt-off immediately if one of your kids peed on your bed.
Well, if he's intentionally peeing on the bed, if he's doing it on purpose, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's
he's a five-year-old. Mm. I believe that you start, and it sounds awful, but you start training at about three. And at three, you just say, look, there's a punishment for this, and the punishment is a naughty step. And when you say you're going to do it, you have to follow through.
Okay, but what about what Stephen is saying, that, you know, we have lost basically, a lot of people, he hasn't, because he's got seven kids and he believes he's wearing them properly, very differently to the way many people might wear their kids, but look, they're his children, he's quite entitled to do what he wants, to some extent. But what do you think of the way he brings his kids up? They do something wrong, even at 13 or 14 years of age, bent over his knee, bent over the sofa, belt off, and a few lashes.
Well, my view on that would be, at 14, you've lost the battle if you're still in the same position. I believe you start at 3, and by the time of 5 or 6, that child should believe what you say. Now, I understand they don't have an Xbox, a TV or whatever, but today's kids, most of the kids we'd be talking about, they have mobile phones. They have something they do not want to live without. So, if you start at the age of 3, and you get up to 4 and 5 and 6, and then they have a little, you know, the little handheld computer things, and they have all these things, they don't want to lose these things. These are privileges, is what they are. So, once they realize that if you say to them, they're going to lose it, if they believe that, that is a punishment. That they know what the consequence is. Now, I would always have a smack. And I mean it, not a smack to the head, a smack on the ass, whatever like that.
But is that not just the same as what he's doing? The only difference is he's using his belt, or a paddle, or something else, rather than his hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't use anything other than...
Do you think what he does is wrong?
I think you can sort of control your hand in the sense that you can sort of control... You can make more noise than issue pain, if you like. But that has to be the last resort.
Do you agree with what he's saying?
A child on the face.
Okay, but Roy, do you agree with what Pastor Stephen Anderson does?
Pardon me?
Do you agree with his form of discipline?
Not entirely.
Okay, wait there for a second. Pastor Anderson, hang on, stay there. I'll go to Jane in Galway. Jane, you're on Classic Kids. How are you?
I am. Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good, Jane. Yes, Jane, you've been away for a good while, obviously. I haven't heard you in a long time on the air, but there you go.
You missed me.
Sure, I miss everybody. Jane, you've heard what Pastor Stephen Anderson said. He's got seven kids. He believes he's brought them up well, but it's, you know, we have to discipline our kids. It says it in the Bible.
Yeah. I don't know why he's quoting the Bible about it, but that's a different matter. But I'd just like to ask him, how often in general does he need to discipline his children that way?
Well, okay, there are seven of them, so somebody's getting disciplined every single day. Obviously, the older they get, the less they need to be disciplined, because they should be learning something. So they get disciplined less and less the older they get.
So do you honestly think that the, like, beating them like that then is working, if you really sort of discipline them when they're younger on a daily basis like that?
Well, it's absolutely working. I mean, anybody who...
You know, like you say that... from your mistakes kind of things, you know, like, do you even sort of explain to them why they're getting, like, what I'd call beating them, to be honest?
Well, you know, when an explanation is necessary, but honestly, 9 times out of 10, they know why they're getting it. You don't need a big explanation about it. And is it working? Of course it's working. And anybody anybody who knows my family would see that my kids are very happy, they're smiling, they're well-behaved. They're very good. I'll take them to a playground, and they make instant friends with all the other kids on the playground that they've never met. They're well-adjusted. They're happy. They're friendly. I got spanked as a child.
Stephen, would you say your kids are afraid of you?
I wouldn't say that they're afraid of me, but I would say that they fear me, in the sense that they have respect for the fact that I have the power to discipline them and that I'm the boss. So in that sense, yes.
See, what I'm trying to say, Stephen, is my mum used to discipline us when we were small. Like, you know, if we were really cheeky of that, we'd get the smack and the bum and all that. But what I'm saying is, the reason I was asking you that was that we learned that the look was enough. Yet my mum didn't need to constantly hit us, because we learned from... But the way you're talking, they're not really learning any lessons from it. And I'm talking, my mum used to give me a smack with her hand on the bum or on the hand of that. I'm not talking about her using a paddle or...
A belt.
You know, like, don't get me wrong, I believe in disciplining children, and if they are really... If things aren't working or that, maybe, or if they're doing something dangerous and they're not listening to you, maybe a smack in the hand or a light tap in the bum is the right way. But what I'm saying is my kids know, you know, if they've overstepped the boundaries with me by the look for that, or just raising my voice a bit to them, I don't need to physically go and use a paddle on them. So I don't believe your children are really learning.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people texting in, you know, Stephen, saying, you know, well, somebody here asked me a question. Do you discipline your wife the same way you discipline your children? Probably a stupid question, but you're
entitled. Obviously, that's, you know, that's what everybody wants to try to twist things and spin things around. We're talking about disciplining children. We're not talking about marriage here. Here's the thing. I'm getting from all the callers is that it seems like they're comfortable with spanking with the hand, but not with the belt or paddle. But here's the thing. It's actually a lot safer.
Hang on, Jay.
It's actually safer to discipline with a paddle or a belt. You're much more likely to injure the child by mistake if you're using your hand, because your hand is not very effective for spanking. And so, you know, you might accidentally, you know, hit them too hard or injure them using, you know, an object like your hand that's more of a thudding type of an object than just giving them a, you know, a crack of the belt or a slap at the paddle. You're much more likely to effectively disciplining without doing any harm or injury. Because obviously I have no desire to injure my child. I'm just trying to give them some discipline so that they will get their behavior right.
I remember, Stephen, when I was a kid, I remember looking at my bedroom window one night, and I could see the bedrooms at the back of me, or the houses at the back of me, and I seen a father who was well known in the area for being an alcoholic. And everybody knew that there was domestic violence in the home, and I don't mean in relation to the kids, I mean in relation to his own wife as well. He was beating her and stuff like that, okay? But I remember one night, the light was on in the bedroom, and there was two kids in the bedroom, and he came in, and exactly as you said, I seen him taking off his belt and start to, you know, whip the kids with the belt. And I thought that was the most terrifying thing that I had ever seen at that age. I was about 12 or 13, and I remember looking at that. And my father didn't do that. I got a belt of his hand every now and again. But to see somebody being beaten with a belt, there was a video on YouTube went viral a while ago of a judge. Do you remember that video? A judge and his daughter, I think she was 13 or 14 years of age. I think he ended up getting charged in the United States, where it went viral all over YouTube. And he was basically slapping his daughter with a belt. And people were disgusted and appalled by it, because it just seems so torturous.
Well, but there's a big difference between calmly and moderately spanking your child on their backside with a belt and a man who's coming home in a drunken rage, swinging his belt indiscriminately at his wife and kids as they, you know, cower and duck in fear. Obviously, that's a completely different situation. I'm sure there are all kinds of videos on YouTube of somebody being abusive or beating someone in a way that's inappropriate. But there are also plenty of examples of millions of Christian parents who, you know, calmly and collectedly and lovingly give their child a spanking on the backside with a belt, not out of anger, not out of rage. I mean, 9 times out of 10, when I spank my children, I'm not even mildly irritated. I'm just spanking them because it's just something that I have to do. It's not that I'm just in a rage and this is how I vent my anger. That's a bad way to discipline. So, you know, it shouldn't all be lumped together.
Okay, hold on a second. I want to go to Darianne. Darianne, you're in Dublin. You're on Classic Hits. If you want to give us a call, by the way, the number is 1850-410-494, or you can text us at 53544, or even go on to Twitter. It's at Niall Boylan 4FM. Sorry, Darianne, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just now, I missed there if the pastor disciplined his wife. I'd like to hear what he said to that.
Well, no, he said, obviously, he doesn't. He's talking about his children.
Yeah, but hello?
Hello, what?
What was his answer?
Well, he doesn't. He said he doesn't.
Well, all I'm going to say is I don't believe for 1 minute that he, like, when he said earlier that he disciplines his kids and he takes off this belt, his leather belt, and, you know, he smacks them. There's no way he does that without anger. Because if a kid did something that didn't irritate you, you would not take that step to control your child. And I think he is absolutely disgusting. But is he from Austin in Texas?
He's from Arizona.
Arizona, yeah. Well, that state is back. It's like back in the dark ages. And I'm sorry, Nan, I don't care what he says. But how dare he take a leather belt and say that's just smacking his children? And I'll tell you one thing. I'd love you to keep this in the archives and go down the road when his children are grown up and ask them how they felt when their father, they don't have respect for him. They are living in fear of that man. I don't like him to answer me on that one because it is disgusting. And you know what really gets me? The fact that he says he's doing it in the Christian thing. That is all. Oh, here, give me a break. Now, I'd love to hear what he has to say.
All right, go on. He can answer that.
Okay, sure. We don't have to wait until my kids grow up because me and my brother and my two sisters are all grown up. And we were all spanked as children. We were spanked with the belt. We were spanked the same way. And I thanked my parents for spanking me so that I didn't grow up and become a criminal or an idiot. You know, it's the discipline that I got growing up that helped keep me on the right path. And so I'm very thankful to God that I had parents that loved me enough to discipline me. And well, real quick,
sorry, Stephen, both of you for a second. Can I just clarify something? Because he is in Arizona, there's a very, very slight delay on the phone line, okay? So by interrupting somebody, you know, Darianne, unfortunately, it doesn't work for us tonight. So, Stephen, just finish what you were saying. Go on, I'll let Darianne
come back. I just wanted to give a quick Bible verse to back up what I'm saying, because she said the thing that made her the most upset is that I'm doing this in the name of Christianity. Well, Christianity believes that the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. So according to the Bible, if I don't use the rod to discipline my children, I hate my children. And that if I love my children, I will discipline them. I will beat them with the rod as the Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs. It's that simple.
Well, there you go, Darianne. The Bible tells him it's okay to do it.
Now, that's actually after making it worse. I mean, I cannot believe, I don't know whether you want to tell me what age he is.
Well, I'm 32 years old, but the Bible is much older than that.
Oh, my God. Right. I have a son a year younger than you. And I can tell you one thing. He's two girls, and he lives in the States, and he lives in San Francisco. And I know for a fact that my son would not pick up his hand and smack his kids no more than his wife would. And to say that because your father did it, and you, the thing now that really gets me is the fact that you said that your father did it and you didn't grow up, and I forget what word you used, and I didn't like it. I raised my two kids on my own after my marriage broke up, and they were very young, 7 and 3, and I can put my hand on the heart, thankfully, and say, as a mother, I never put one hand to either of those kids, because I had ways of disciplining them without having to go to abuse. And my kids grew up as absolutely pillars of society, and I'm very proud of them. And it did not have to be the fact that, and I can tell you there were times I felt like it, because they stretched me so much, because when you're on your own as a mother and you're trying to do mother, father, everything, finance, everything, but I would not let it happen. And I am thankful that I never did. But to hear somebody like you saying that because your father did it and you're thankful because you've turned out okay. No, I'm sorry. I don't believe your kids are going to be okay.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I've got to take a break. And Stephen, I want you to stay with me, all right?
Absolutely.
You can't possibly during the break. The number is 1850-410-494. Lots and lots of texts coming in. Somebody said, well, you asked the pastor whether his kids are homeschooled. They are. He did say that, I think, before to us. How much do other kids invite them to their homes to play? That comes in from Mary and Slogan. Mary, I'll ask him that after the break. Lots of other texts comes in. You must instill...
Yes.
Hi, just a quick break, so about 1 or 2
okay.
minutes, if even. You're okay to hang on
for
a little while,
yeah? Yeah, thanks.
Brilliant, okay, hang
Thank
on
you.
The line there.
Disciplined in the family home. That comes in from John. Lots and lots of texts going in there at the moment. I'm asking quite a simple question. Pastor Stephen Anderson has said, no problem at all, I will discipline my children, take off a belt if I have to, a paddle, whatever needs be. He has 7 children. He's 31 years of age. Busy man, yeah. And he said, we need to discipline our children because the Bible tells us it's okay to do it. And if we don't do it, well, then actually we're breaking the word of God, really, aren't we? Because the Bible tells us if we don't do it, we don't love our children. I'm asking you, because Barnardo's, of course, the Child Safety Organization or Child Protection Agency, have said they want to bring in laws to stop us from smacking your kids or stop you from smacking your kids. I'm asking you, is it okay? What Pastor Stephen Anderson does, you know, beating his child, spanking his child with a belt, is that okay? You can text yes or no to 53544 or call us on 1850-410-494 here at Classic Hits.
Instead of punching the radio, punch this number into your phone. 1850-410-494 and have your day.
Hello?
Niall Boylan at night
on Classic Hits 4FM.
Love, Love Classics is going on the road.
Join us in Monroe's Galway for the party of the year. We have food, drink, and the very best club classics. But we need you. Friday, November 22nd. Text PARTY with your name and location to 53544. And listen to Classic Hits 4FM for more. Tell a friend. The station that parties all year round. Classic Hits 4FM.
But I don't understand why you won't do it, Robert. It's so blubbing easy.
Well, ma'am.
Sarah down the road, she started her first job too and she's got one already. A1, she says.
Oh, we'll do it.
No one else will do it for you, Robert. Will you just ring Campion Insurance and set up your pension?
All right.
Think it's time to invest in the future? Talk to Campion Insurance about your pension options today. It's so easy, even Robert could manage it. Drop in to any of our offices nationwide or visit campioninsurance.ie. Campion Insurance is limited trading as Campion Insurance is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
At City Colleges, this month, you can choose from a range of exciting autumn diploma programmes, including journalism, counselling psychology, CBT, criminology, policing, law, history, finance, and digital marketing. Our exceptional lecturers, including John Waters, Miles Dungan, and Eddie Hobbs, and world-class online resources, will ensure you have an enjoyable and enlightening educational experience. Programmes are delivered one evening per week from Dublin City Centre, as well as online throughout the country. Log on to citycolleges.ie to register. City Colleges, professional education.
Even up since 6, been to the gym, dropped the kids to the school, had an extremely stressful day in work, spent an hour stuck in traffic on the way home, and now all you want to do is collapse on the couch in front of a roaring fire. Luckily, there's a convenient and fast lighting Zip fire log ready to go into the hearth. No mess, no hassle, just a natural fire in an instant. And now there's even a fire log for your stove. Simply light a wrapper.
Come home to Zip, a real Irish fire. Call into your favourite retailer today for great value Zip fire logs.
Concerned about rising energy costs and home security?
Regency Windows have the solution for you. Our Supertherm triple glazed windows and doors will transform your home, making it warm and secure. Regency Windows, a family-run Irish company for over 20 years. Call Regency Windows today on 01554 9000 or go to regencywindows.ie.
We are the WRDIE.
Time is precious, so make the most of it by letting someone else worry about the finicky things. Whether it's plumbing, electric, gas, aircon, or refrigeration, DWAR can help with a fully registered team available 24/7. So for complete house and office maintenance, there's only one number you need.
1-800-765-7665.
Blackwater Motors Volkswagen, where extraordinary customer service meets exceptional value. And now the value is better than ever at Blackwater Motors Cork. Save up to €5,000 on the full 131 and 132 Volkswagen range, with incredible finance terms available with Volkswagen Bank. Go on. Save up to €5,000 on the 131 and 132 Volkswagen range now. Visit Blackwater Motors, Turner's Cross, Fermoy, Skibbereen, or online at blackwatermotors.ie.
Classic hits for FM.
CSI.
Think you know the year?
The Taoiseach has warned that continuing restraints on pay and public spending will be vital to ensure that Ireland remains competitive under the single currency which came into being at the time.
And will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war.
A communications disruption can mean only one thing. Invasion.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, rated PG.
When two students launch a deadly assault on Columbine High.
Oh God, stay on the path off. Stay down.
Love is my love, love is my love, it is your love.
From the creators of Toy Story, a Pixar Animation Studios film.
For the colony and for oppressed bugs everywhere.
Hello there, curly bug.
A Bug's Life, coming soon to video.
Remember the year? CSI.
Classic Song Investigation.
Weekdays from 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Classic Hits 4FM.
Do you want to make a change? Do you want to make a real difference? Do you want to tell that idiot what you really think of him? Talk with a difference. Niall Boylan at night on Classic Hits 4FM.
Well, I've been talking to Pastor Stephen Anderson, who's still with us, and he believes that, I suppose, we've lost the run of ourselves because we're not disciplining our children. He disciplines his 7 children by means of using a paddle or using his belt if they step in a line or don't do their chores. Lots of texts coming in at the moment, questions that you want to ask him. If you want to give him a call or you want to talk to him or you agree with him or you disagree with him, you're welcome to give us a call right now. The number is 1850-410-494. But in the meantime, I want to know how many people actually agree with him. And so far, I'm quite surprised, actually. Well, maybe I'm not surprised after today's conversation, but about 62% of people are actually agreeing with him now. I think the last time I had Stephen on, about a year and a half ago, saying something similar, you all disagreed. It's amazing how people change their minds all of a sudden. The number is 53544 is the text number. Do you agree with Pastor Stephen Anderson? Okay, some of the texts coming in. I'll read some of the nastier ones out first. He sounds like a tyrant to me. Children need disciplining, but his strict method is a step too far. Another person says, the Bible was written by man and not God. Would you tell this guy his kids fear him and don't respect him? Did he fear his parents or respect or love them? That comes in from Emmett and Kent Turk. Another person says, well, the pastor's religion... does his wife, who gave birth to his children, have a say in the matter regarding the slapping with his belt? I'm repulsed and completely outraged. That comes in from Roisin. Pastor, does your wife ever, you know, dole out the discipline?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, she doles out more discipline than I do. And what's funny is that when I first met my wife is actually from Europe. She's German. And when I first met my wife, she was completely against spanking because she grew up in Europe. and was taught that it was wrong. But after she became a believer, became a Christian, and read the Bible, then she completely did a 180 on it, and she is very strongly in favor of spanking. In fact, you know, she's stricter than I am, if anything.
That kind of tells you then what Christianity does to you, doesn't it? It turns you into somebody who slaps children.
It turns you into a person who, you know, walks after God's word and not after, you know, the methods of this world. And so, obviously, reading the Bible is going to change your viewpoints on a lot of things if you believe that it's the word of God.
Okay, somebody said, well, you ask the pastor, seems he thinks disciplining his children are okay because it says so in the Bible, inverted commas. Does he also hate gays, inverted commas, and support slavery just because it's in the Bible?
Well, I do hate gays because that is in the Bible, but I do not support slavery. In fact, the word slave is not even mentioned in the King James Bible one time. So this idea that the Bible supports slavery is a fraud. The word slave is not even mentioned.
Where does that notion come from in the Bible that it says that it's okay to have? Now, I don't know the exact quotation. I'm not somebody who studies the Bible, but it does say at some point, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, that you can have a slave as long as they're not from the same country, doesn't it?
Well, it comes from a misunderstanding of two things. Number one, there's the concept of a prisoner of war becoming a servant or a slave. And then number two, there were people who would sell themselves as servants for a temporary period of time, either 3 or 6 years. So that was like somebody's in debt up to their eyeballs. They can't support themselves. They can't pay off their debts. They don't have any food. They could indenture themselves temporarily, but it was illegal for that person to be your servant for more than either 3 years or 6 years. So,
Well, I can tell you, today's news wouldn't be very good for you, Pastor, if you were living in Ireland, because they've just announced yesterday, actually, should I say, our Taoiseach, which is like our Secretary of State, so to speak, has announced that we're going to be having a referendum on same-sex marriage. So I don't think you'd be too pleased with that, and I'm pretty sure it's probably going to go ahead with a big yes. But that's probably not going to please you an awful lot.
Well, no, but honestly,
would you discipline your kids if they said they were gay? Would you discipline your child at 16 or 15 if they said, I think I'm gay?
Yeah, that's a ridiculous question, because my children would never say such a thing, because I don't believe in this lie that people are born that way. It's been proven to be a fraud. Even science has proven that to be a fraud. For example, there was a study recently on identical twins, and they looked at thousands of identical twins and to see whether, you know, if one of them were a homosexual, would the other one also be a homosexual? And it turned out, the results of this study, if one of them were a homosexual, the chance of their identical twin being a homosexual was like 8 or 9%, which obviously that shows that it has nothing to do with genetics, because identical twins have virtually the same genes. So obviously there's a choice there. It has nothing to do with genes, or else there would have been a 90% chance.
Okay. So you believe it's the way they're brought up.
Absolutely.
Okay, and your kids are never going to come to you and say they're gay.
Of course not.
You'd be horrified, wouldn't you, by that? Very tall.
I would be horrified, but it would never happen.
Okay, well, don't be so sure, you know. You never know, Steve, when it might come knocking on your door. Nick, you're in Cork. You're on Classic Hits. What do you want to say, Nick?
Hey, how's it going? Well, I'm a Christian myself, but I look at the Bible from a different perspective. Not to show what the path of basis on the Christian beliefs, but we love on the new covenant, and the new covenant of grace based in the New Testament. Jesus did come to show love and show passionately. No, I don't hate gays. I don't treat them differently. I see it as a sinful nature, but yet we're all sinful. Yeah, we all have our own failures, but my dad slapped me, frankly, when I was younger, and I hate it at the time, but yeah, I agree with it now, and I respect it at the time. But I think above all, love needs to be shown in the household. Mm-hmm. And when you set a standard of love, everything changes. Like, I know if I was bad, yeah, I got spanked, but it wasn't a spank that changed me, it was my father's attitude towards my bad behavior was what changed my heart. But what changed my perspective at the time is when I don't want my dad to be mad at me. I don't want my parents to be sad or upset over the mistakes.
You didn't want to disappoint your parents, yeah.
Exactly, and that comes from love. And when you say standard love in the house, the behavior comes into that as well. But the pastor, he's talking about go back in Proverbs and taking the rod out. Like that's going back to the Jewish standards. Like, we're not living on the Jewish law, we're living on the law that Jesus came in. The old law was set to show us
Well, hold on. With the greatest respect to both of you, because I know you're both Christians, but the greatest respect, but it's 2,000 years later. I think mankind has moved on a little bit. You know, from those days. I mean, let's be honest, Pastor. In those days, we would be throwing Christians to the lions, etc., etc. We have moved on. Mankind itself has moved on, Stephen.
That doesn't mean religion has to, but even Christianity.
You call it moving on. I call it going down the toilet. You know, if you call the way that our world is becoming moving on, you know, sorry, but we've gone backwards as a society. And our country here in America, you know, I've never been to Ireland, but I know here in the United States, people are becoming pagan and barbarous, and, you know, our society is going down the tubes. I mean, young people are growing up, and they're whoring around. They're whores and whoremongers. They don't have any respect for authority. They don't respect their parents.
Ungodly. Hold on. Stop a second. When you say young people are whoring around and whoremongers, give me an example of what you're talking about.
I'm saying that the average young person today, you know, goes to college and pretty much gets in bed with about 20 different people. You know, and that's not the way our country used to be. It used to be based on, morals and family values, and people were virgins when they got married and so forth, like the Bible teaches. Now, that's rare. That's one in a hundred or something, it seems like, that is actually pure on their wedding day. So we have people today tattooing their bodies, mutilating their bodies, getting in bed with 20 or 30 different partners. Many are going into deviancy like homosexuality, bestiality. I mean, our whole society is becoming pagan and godless.
How can you put homosexuality and bestiality in the same sentence?
The Bible puts them in the same verse.
Hang on a second. Nick, you're not agreeing with that, are you, Nick?
What's the difference between bestiality and homosexuality?
Well, hold on. I think the difference is quite clear. You're talking about two adults, and an adult and a dog or a horse or whatever.
Nick,
hold on. Use your head, man. We're talking about two adults loving each other. You know, okay, you can have affection for your dog, but you don't fall in love with your dog. There's something very wrong with that. Okay, so there's a huge difference between...
The Germans actually have zoos in Germany for sex with animals.
They banned that last year.
Okay, well,
they got sent. Yeah. But the point is, Nick, hold on. Don't compare homosexuality, which is two adults, consenting adults, falling in love, to a man or a woman having sex with a dog.
Well, here's the mistake you're making. Here's the mistake you're making with all due respect. You keep saying two people. You know, you obviously don't know anything about the homosexual lifestyle, because the average homosexual has several hundred partners. That's been documented. There are all kinds of scientific studies on that, even by the Centers for Disease Control. Do a little research. You'll find that a huge percentage of homosexuals have had sex with over 500 partners. So this idea of two people loving each other is a myth. It's a fairy tale. Even homosexuals who get married, that monogamy does not exist among homosexuals. Okay, that's a
fact.
But you don't believe
two men can love each other, Pastor, obviously.
You need to Google it and get the statistics. It doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. They have hundreds of partners.
I don't want to Google anything. I'm asking you.
I'm telling you.
Do you believe two men can love each other? Two women can love each other?
In a non-sexual way. Of course they can love each other as friends in a non-sexual way. But homosexuality is a deviant situation that involves people having sex anonymously with several hundred people. Okay. That is what the facts show. That's not what TV shows you, but look up the science. Look at the Center for Disease Control studies on it.
I want to get back to disciplining, because we got off the topic a little bit. We talked about homosexuality in great detail last night, so I don't want to go too much into it. But I know a lot of people will take issue with what you said in relation to homosexuality. Go back to the disciplining again. A lot of people sending in texts, you know, saying that basically you're putting the fear of God, pardon the cliche, into your children, that you're not disciplining your children. All you're doing is you're teaching them fear of their father. And, you know, I have to agree with them. You know, my children respect me. You say it's about respect, your children respecting you. My children respect me, but I don't have to, you know, take off my belt to them or slap them for them to respect me. They respect me because they know when I'm angry, when they've done something wrong. They know I'll put them in their room if they've done something wrong. They know I'll ground them for the day if they've done something wrong. They know that I'm disappointed in them, and they respect that. So, you know what I mean? Why do we need to beat them, essentially?
Well, you know, what you said actually ties in with what the caller had brought up, saying that what I was quoting was from the Old Testament. Well, the New Testament reiterates physically disciplining your children in the book of Hebrews, and it actually brings up respect. It says, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Reverence is a very strong word for respect. And it also says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he said, if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So the Bible tells us, you know, both in Old and New Testament, that the father who loves his children disciplines and scourges his children. That's what the Bible says. And it produces reverence. The Bible says, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence.
All right, so the text coming in, this guy is rearing his children for the world of 2,000 years ago. He is setting them up for the future in this world. And that comes in from Sean. Another person says, in the Bible, somewhere, it says somewhere, let no man judge another. So he think he can judge. He's not God. Another person said, I read the King James Bible. It's mad. A 900-year-old man and all types of other crazy things, primitive. And that comes in from Wayne. We say, Niall, what a complete and utter gobshite. I'd love to take off my belt to him and give him a good slap. I'm a mum with young kids, and I'm sickened by this. That, in my book, is child abuse. That comes in from Jan in Galway. Sorry, Darianne, you want to say something else there? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to say there, this whole thing about quoting the Bible and the New Testament, the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, you know, can you not just look at your kids? And one of the things I want to say is, if the pastor is only 32, his wife must be pretty young as well. And she's now having her 8th child. And I know in that, in Arizona, there's a strict thing on contraception. And all that, so he's probably tied into all of that.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't agree with contraception.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, his poor wife, now come on.
Poor wife? Oh, okay. I don't think he'd agree she's
kids,
a poor wife.
8 kids in our 30s, Jesus. My mother had 8 kids.
Hold on, you can't judge him for having 8 kids in his 30s. That's his choice, isn't it?
No, but my mother died when I was 15. But anyway...
How's your wife, Stephen, after having 8 kids in her early 30s?
Well, you know, my wife is as healthy as a horse, because actually having a lot of children is good for you. You know, putting those organs of your body to good use is going to make you healthier in the long run, not unhealthy. So, you know, as long as you do it in a...
Strikes me as an incubator rather than a person, to be honest with you.
No. And you know what I find is that, you know, in a lot of relationships, the reason why people don't have a lot of children, it's usually the husband who is telling his wife that he doesn't want to have any more kids because he doesn't want to pay for it all. He doesn't want to support all these kids. And so it's not normally the woman who doesn't want to proceed with having children. And so, you know, my wife wants to have children. She loves having children. And, you know, we love each and every one of our children, and our children are well behaved. So why would we not want more? But when people don't spank their child, yeah, I can see why they only want to have one or two, because they can probably, you know, they already have their hands full with one or two. And if anybody thinks that my wife is unhappy, I'd encourage them to visit my wife's blog and see all the pictures of my happy wife and my happy children. It's stephenandersonfamily.blogspot.com. The blog is called Are They All Yours? And they can see my wife and children and how happy they are, and they can read my wife's thoughts on this.
Are they all yours, yeah?
Yeah, that's what people often ask in public. They ask, you know, are these all yours? So that's the name of the blog, exactly.
Okay, I'm wondering how you find the time for it. But anyway, John, you're in Dublin, you're in Classic Hits. Go ahead.
Hiya, Niall.
Oh, it's you, John. How are you doing? I didn't say that with disappointment, by the way. Go on.
Well, I can say several things to that, but I won't. Right.
Where do you start? Is that what you want to know? Is that what you want to say?
No, I've no problem starting. First of all, what I'm about to say, right, I'd like to point out that I know the gentleman on the other end of the line is a pastor. I'm an atheist, all right? Mm-hmm. Not a faith hater, which one of your guests very eloquently pointed out. There's a huge difference between an atheist and a faith hater, right? Mm-hmm. I recognize and have respect for his belief. That's what an atheist does. A faith hater is someone completely different. So I'm not going to approach any of this from a religious standpoint, because I don't recognize, to me, there is no God, right?
Right, okay.
But he recognizes there's a God, and I respect him for that. To the subject matter at hand,
discipline.
Niall, we are raising, without question, the most unruly and undisciplined generation of young people in human history. And the reason we are is because, like I said in my text, there is no fear of reprimand because there is no reprimand. Niall, the super nanny method does not work.
Oh, well, look, she's an idiot. I know that.
The Dr. Phil, the doctor, well, I wouldn't call her an idiot, but it doesn't work. The Dr. Phil method doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember a conversation, a similar conversation, several months ago on your show, where one of the mums were on, she was, I'll be honest, no, she was only a kid herself, right?
Yeah.
And her whole mentality, her whole response to, you know, the discipline issue was basically, I go down to the child's level. Now, Jesus Christ, Niall. I mean, with all due respect, be serious, will you? One kid to another. It doesn't work. It does not work.
John, but does it work to put your child over the sofa, you know, back, bottom in the air, and slap them with your belt? Does that work?
No.
I don't agree, personally, with using an instrument, because I don't agree with that, right? I don't in any way.
Were you physically disciplined, John, when you were a kid?
Was I physically disciplined?
Yeah, did you get a slap off your dad?
To answer your question, Niall, and please allow me to answer it, right? Because, you know, you haven't in the past. Let me explain it this way to you. I knew there was a line there. To think of it as a kind of like a symbolic, metaphorical line in the sand. I knew that metaphorical, symbolic line was there. And I knew that once I stepped over that line, there would be reprimand. I knew that line was there. Now, I'm not going to say, Niall, that I didn't step over it. Of course, I bloody danced over it.
And was there reprimand?
So did you, so did many other people. And yes, there was a reprimand. And I bloody well knew there was going to be a reprimand. But my point to you, Niall, is today, there is, these kids know there is no reprimand. So if they know there is no consequence, which there clearly isn't, and I back the pastor 100% on that, then they will push as far as
just,
they
John,
will push.
Okay, John, but the vision or the mental image that I have of Pastor Stephen Anderson, I've seen a photograph of him, so I actually know what he looks like, so I have a good mental image of him, right? Of him getting his 12 or 13-year-old daughter, son, whatever, and bending them over his knee or over a sofa or over the bed, standing there, you know, I'm the big 31-year-old man, you're the child, whipping off his belt and... That mental image to me doesn't sound right.
Well, Niall, just to be specific, I'm not saying that I agree with using a belt. My only point, Niall, is that A, there we are raising the most undisciplined, disrespectful generation of kids in human history.
Would you agree with that, Stephen? Are we raising the most undisciplined kids of human history?
Absolutely. You know, I agree with a lot of what the caller is saying. And I agree that atheists are not faith haters because they have a lot of faith to believe in what they believe in, just like I have faith
in the
Bible.
They respect other people's faith.
Mm-hmm.
They respect other people's faith.
Well, yeah. I appreciate that. But I agree that we are raising a generation that has zero respect because there's no fear of consequences. So they keep on pushing
there
until they
no.
find a boundary. And unfortunately, a lot of times when they, by the time they find that boundary is when a police officer
there
is taken
no
to prison.
To find.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so they're taken to prison, you know, after committing some heinous crime. That's the first time they find a boundary. They're not finding it with their parents.
See, the problem is, Stephen, when we talk about abusive children in this country, when we talk about disciplining children, people's memories automatically shoot back to, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Because
the Catholic Church, yes.
That's because of the Catholic Guard. Look, Niall, we Irish have a lot of hang-ups. Let's be honest about it, right? We've hang-ups about homosexuality. We've hang-ups about, you know, chastising our kids. We're very fucked up society, right? And we're only coming out from underneath that 30 or 40 years you're talking about.
Yeah, but Stephen still has the same hang-up about homosexuality.
Who? I think you'll find that we do.
No, I'm just saying to you, Pastor Stephen Anderson still has that same hang-up about homosexuality. He still has the same hang-up about homosexuality.
Who?
Stephen Anderson.
but you hearkened back to 34 years ago. Forget about Stephen for a second. You hearkened back to 30 or 4 years ago on this Catholic Irish thing. We still have that.
Yeah, but Stephen reminds me of a throwback. With some respect to you, Stephen, you remind me of a parent from 50 years ago. You know, who hated homosexuals and think they were all queer and weird. To beat their children. But that's what he reminds me of.
There may just be a cultural difference here. Because it sounds to me like, you know, you personally, you had that bad experience looking out the window, so you have a real bad example of spanking with a belt in your mind, and maybe just as a nation, Ireland has this really bad view of physical discipline, just because culturally in Ireland 40 or 50 years ago, it was being administered in an angry or in a, you know, harmful way. But in the United States of America, that's not how we feel about it, because we have a lot of good examples.
I have a good example from my parents.
But my parents...
It is harmful. It has to be... Hold on for a second. It has to have some psychological effect on a child to be put over a sofa and hit with a belt. It has to have some harm. I'm sure it leaves a red mark on the bottom as well. So there has to be psychological effects to that. When they grow up, for example, thinking if somebody says something to me that I don't like, or they're cheeky to me or they're rude to me, I should take my belt off and hit them. You're basically teaching a child that the way to sort out a problem like this, or the way to sort out a discipline problem, is to hit somebody.
No, I don't believe so at all. Of course it has a psychological effect on them. It has a positive psychological effect on them. It helps them grow up and understand that that when you do wrong, you're going to have a negative consequence. And, you know, they're not going to think that they can just go around and smack anyone that they like, because they don't see their parents going around smacking everybody. The only people that I smack are my own children.
Wait a second. I want to go to Sean. Sean, you're in Castletown Barrier on Classic Kids. Stay there, John. Go ahead, Sean.
Good evening, Niall. How's it going?
How you doing? Well, you've heard what Stephen has to say. Well, John is kind of singing from more or less the same hymn. Sheedy believes that we're raising a bunch of degenerates, basically, in this world, and we need to sort it out. Discipline is the only way.
And I don't think discipline is the only way. I was reared without ever being hit by any of my parents, and I turned out fine. I do think that this lack of respect, this perceived lack of respect that young people have...
There's
a lot of disrespect for other people. There's a lot of disrespect in society. I mean, we heard the pastor there going on, he hates gays, and he was going on about gay people. So he's showing disrespect. John is always on about
disrespect of children.
He's a big socioeconomic background and living in this area and that area. And that's not very respectful. If the whole society respected people, children would only see respect, and they wouldn't be disrespectful
children. We're talking about the disrespect of today's children. Today's children, it is a reality. It is not perception. It is.
It's not every young person.
Nobody's saying it's
there's
every
a percentage
young person.
There's always
but there
a percentage.
Aren't. Nobody's saying
we were
every young
talking
person.
Earlier on.
Go ahead, sorry, one at a time.
You were talking earlier on about the ADA, whatever
ADHD,
it is,
yeah.
And you were saying that some children are very quiet growing up, some children are very boisterous growing up, some children are very cheeky, and they could all be in the same house, they could be reared in exactly the same way.
Yeah, different people, yeah, we're all different.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's going to...
The one thing I will agree with both John and Pastor Stephen Anderson, and I said it already, children are very different now to the way they were 40 years ago or 30 years ago. I mean, I wouldn't have ever dared to speak back to my father or be cheeky to my father.
But they do, Niall, and you know they do.
I mean, look, my kids do. But now they get grounded for it. But
why
they
is
do
that?
It.
Why is that? Why do they now, Niall? Why is this?
But hold on, I don't feel the need to beat them because of it, by the way.
Yeah. So what way, you know, citing your example of kids talking back to their elders or their parents in a way which they wouldn't have done maybe possibly even 20 years ago, what way do you think as sufficient to deal with that kind of problem? Give me an example of how you would deal with that kind of a situation should it arise. By taking privileges? Bullshit. It doesn't work.
It does. Well, it works in my home. It might not work in when you were around,
yeah,
John.
But in my home.
Yeah, sorry. Well, okay, let me just go back to Sean, because obviously Stephen had a lot of issues with homosexuality, Sean. And obviously, just to remind Stephen, you are a gay man. I mean, you take umbrage, obviously, with that. You find what he said quite offensive and disrespectful to the gay community. But yes.
Big time. You know, and again, like John, I'd be mad about Christianity or just say, look, let them do what they do. But I don't go down... pardon them, but I can't see why he has to interfere in my life. And I mean, God, if I had 700 people in my life, I'd be very happy, Pastor, but I haven't, I'm afraid, to disappoint you. And I don't think it's up to you to even talk about. Look, he's rearing his children based on a manual 2,000 years ago. So he's not rearing his children for this world. So he's cutting them short. I mean, he's homeschooling them as well. So they're not really going to survive in the real world. And I think that's the big problem.
Okay, well, let me ask him about that, because you are homeschooling your children, Stephen. I mean, do you believe there's a huge advantage to homeschooling them?
Absolutely. My 12-year-old son is just finishing up with Algebra 2. I mean, my children are years ahead in their schoolwork. They're much more intelligent than the children who are coming out of public school, many of which can barely read or write, know almost nothing about history. So there's a huge academic advantage to homeschooling, but also we can shelter them from all the bizarre perversion that abounds at public school, where they're being exposed to homosexuality, bestiality, and other strange practices. And by the way, the homosexual, the homosexual man on the line, he's proving my point right now, because he just said, oh, that'd be so wonderful if I could have several hundred different partners. Well, you know, guess what? I don't think that's wonderful. I've only been in bed with one woman in my entire life, and I think it'd be wonderful to die that way, having had sex with one woman. I'm not like the homosexual who desires several hundred partners. That's the kind of perversion that lifestyle entails, and he's proving my point.
But what are your children going to do when they grow up? How are they going to face the world, Pastor?
Well, how do I face the world?
And they all stay in... Huh?
I'm growing up. How do I face the world? I'm living in 2013. I'm successful.
Do you do any other work rather than the pastor?
Well, at this time, I'm only a pastor, but until recently, I ran a fire alarm business. Basically, I did electrical work, and I've succeeded just fine. I made a very good living doing electrical work. So, I'm making it.
So, before you got married to your wife, did you ever have relationships? Did you ever have sex?
I never had sex before I was married. You know, I was a virgin when I got married. I did obviously go on dates. I dated many girls until I found the one that I wanted to marry. And, you know, I understand that people have made mistakes. I'm not condemning people who've made a mistake and have repented of it and
well,
you know, are doing what's right. But
I
personally
slept with
two
women before I got married. I don't consider it a mistake. I consider it an experience. It was an enjoyable experience.
That's because you don't believe the Bible, though. The Bible teaches that we should only have that relationship inside of marriage. And you know what? I think I'm actually very happy that I've only been with my wife. I'm glad I didn't bring any baggage into the marriage.
Each to their own, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah, each to their own, I suppose. Okay. But the problem is, as Sean is pointing out, is that your children are sheltered from the real world.
Well, they live in the real world. They play out in the front yard.
They live in fantasy land.
That's not true at all. We take them to the park. They play at the park. They play in the front yard. We take them to church. We take them to the store. We take them to sporting events.
They have to be allowed to experience life outside of the bubble.
Well, hold on a minute.
They have to be allowed experience.
Okay, last week I took my daughter to the symphony. Okay, I take my children to sporting events. They've practiced martial arts. 12 and down.
How old are your kids?
12 years old and down.
Right. What happens, Pastor, with the greatest respect, what happens when your kids reach 18?
The same thing that happened when I reached 18, I suppose. I mean, I started working. I got married when I turned 19. I started making money. I got a job. I raised a family. I mean, they're going to be an adult. They're going
to... Pastor, you have to... I mean, I understand that... I mean, I think what kids, to a large extent, I think kids are exposed to ridiculously... I think the kind of things that kids are exposed to today, I think they're far too much exposure. I think there's far too much sexualization. I agree with you on that 100%. But at the same time, you have to give leeway. You have to allow kids... You know, they have to be exposed to a certain extent to life in order to prepare them for what's coming. Now, when I say exposing them to life, I do not mean, you know, some muppet of a parent going out and buying an 18 certificate game or an 18 certificate CD or DVD and in the full knowledge that their kid shouldn't be watching it and then bringing it home and saying, there you go, Johnny, Mary, watch that.
Yeah, see, I think the point John is trying to get to, at some point in their life, Stephen, they're going to have to get a job. Maybe they get a job in the city, in an office or something like that. You know, they're going to be hanging out with real people who've experienced different parts of life, be it homosexuality, be it promiscuity, be it having a good time and going out to a nightclub and having a drink. Are you not going to let your 18 or 19, you'll have no choice really once they reach 18, they're adults, they can make their own choices, but they're not going to be prepared for that, they're not going to be ready for that, because, hey, my dad didn't tell me about this stuff. He didn't tell me about contraception because he told me I wouldn't need it until I was married. He didn't tell me that I might eventually meet a homosexual, a real live one. You know what I mean? So this whole
conversation is ridiculous. You don't think that my children have heard about and been exposed to all the things you're mentioning? I'm not sure why you think that my children live in a bubble simply because they don't go to a public school. Just because they don't go to the public school system and get indoctrinated doesn't mean they haven't been exposed to these things. They see real people. They deal with real people all the time.
What do your children think of homosexuality?
Pardon me?
What do your children think of homosexuality?
The same thing that I think of homosexuality. And yet I'm able to function. I've been able to hold down a lot of good jobs. I've never been fired from a job. And they feel exactly the same way about homosexuality that I do, that it's disgusting, that it's filthy, that it's a deviation from anything normal human behavior. And so how am I functioning? How are all the members of my church functioning? There's 100 people that come to my church. How are they all functioning in society? This idea that my children are going to grow up and not be able to function.
They're all hanging out together, like the Western Baptist Church.
That's absolutely not true. My wife has a huge circle of friends outside of church that she has through homeschooling groups, that she has through, food groups, because we basically...
But they're all Christian, I would imagine.
Most of them are Christian, but a lot of them are not even Christian.
We're going to wrap this up in a second, because I take one or two more callers before I finish, if I can. I want to go to Jez. You're in Dublin. You're on Classic Kids. Go ahead, Jez.
Hi, Anila. I just, you made a few points there that I wanted to make, but this just creeps me out. It's the most unhealthy, messed up, small-minded. The question I wanted to ask was the pastors, were the kids allowed to socialize with other children that weren't of the same frame of mind?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. My children actually socialize with a lot of children on our street. We don't let our children go into their homes. We don't let them go into their houses, but they can play in the front yard or they can play on our street with all the kids on the street, except for certain kids that have you know, said something bad or done something bad. But they have a lot of friends on the street that they play with. And actually, because my children usually outnumber them anyway, usually my children are an influence on them rather than vice versa.
Well, do you know that's a good...
Can I ask you another question, Pastor? I just wonder, sure. You have, at the moment, your eighth child is on the way, God bless them, and you're only 32, so there's a good chance you'll have more children. Now, statistically, there's a good chance that one of your children, regardless of how you raise them or how you feel, they will be born homosexual. What do you do? I have two adult children, and they've had good stuff in their lives and they've had bad stuff in their lives, and I wanted to know about it all, whether I agreed with it, whether I disagreed. I wanted to know. So if one of your children is gay, what happens? Do you try to beat that out of them? Do
you aside from the biblical evidence that abounds
people are not born gay.
I'm trying to not talk about the Bible. I said, aside from the Bible, I already gave scientific evidence earlier in the program that people are not born homosexual and that is a fraud. And I cited a study done on thousands of identical twins.
It's without question they're born homosexual.
But, okay, oh, really? If it's without question, then show me the data. Show me the science.
Sorry, John, what are you saying?
Show me the study.
What are you saying? Sorry, John.
He just made, no. With regards to the pastor, and I have a respect for certainty from the discipline aspects, he said that people are not born homosexual. They are born homosexual, right? Just like heterosexuals are born heterosexual. So he's right. I don't know where his scientific evidence is coming from.
Well, he's quoted some earlier on about twins, and okay, and I'm pretty sure there's as many different experiments or scientific evidence.
Absolutely not. No one can produce. I would like to see one scientific study. No one can produce any scientific study proving that homosexuals are born that way. Everyone's just brainwashed by the television that that's the case. 2,300 identical twins. Google the study, identical twins, homosexual study. I'm producing evidence. You guys don't have any evidence. And if so, produce it. Where's the study? Where's
the science? Jez, go ahead.
I just feel that if this educated, intelligent man took his head out of his arse and took his head out of books, all he has quoted is this book, the Bible, Google. If he concentrated more on the variety of people that are out there and the acceptance of that variety of people that are out there, his children would be much more well-rounded human beings and less judgmental of people, more accepting of the ups and downs, and maybe a bit more honest with their parents if they do have feelings that their parents feel comes from the devil and comes from hell. And I just think it's ignorant, it's archaic, and he just irritates me. And I have to go now, but just education is nothing. Get your head out of the books, Pastor, and listen to your children and accept them for what they are.
Okay. Now, I want to go one more caller. Connor, how are you doing? You're in Wicklow. Go ahead.
How you doing? I was just wanting to say, basically, about the whole thing here about disciplining kids by hitting them and that.
Yeah.
Basically, what it comes down to is the education system in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
We're not a modern country. You go to any other country in Europe, a developed country, and you find that Ireland is about 20 years behind in its thinking. Now, I know we've come a long way since the Catholic Church and that rigid way of thinking. But basically, in our schools, the kids aren't taught flexibility of mind. They're taught a rigid way, and that's basically how to make money, how to learn about this, that, and you're a mathematics or geography or anything. But there's no substance to the education system.
You're right. I was actually reading about this the other night. The education system was designed for the Industrial Revolution, which
there's
is
no
long since gone.
There's no learning about Plato. There's no learning about actually how the state is really run by a bunch of oligarchs. There's none of this.
Okay, well, let's go back to what we're talking about is in the home, Connor. The pastor believes that it's okay to discipline your child with a belt or a paddle or whatever it happens to be in the home. Do you find that acceptable?
Oh, God, no. That's completely out of the question. I mean, why would you need to physically enforce something on a child when kids are perfectly capable of learning to just being taught? My kids will come around. I know from being hit myself and being physically abused that it didn't work at all. It actually caused more problems than me.
You know, Stephen, that is, some people have said that those who are abused when they're younger, now I don't know how true it is, go on then to, of course, abuse their children, you know, physically when they get older. Stephen, were you abused as a child? Were you physically disciplined?
I was not abused.
One of the worst excuses in the world.
Hang on, Connor. Sorry, Stephen, go ahead.
I was just saying, I was definitely not abused. Of course, I was disciplined, and so therefore I grow up and discipline my children. But honestly, it's because the Bible says so, not just because it happened to me. But honestly, my parents never did anything abusive to me.
But some people would class what you do as being abusive.
Some people are wrong.
Well, did you ever hear the barbarism starts in the home? Did you ever hear of that saying, barbarism starts in the home?
I've heard that saying, but, you know, I consider it barbarism when people are tattooing their bodies, going to bed with 30 different people, and, you know, going to a mosh pit at a rock concert. That's barbarism. You know, being a clean-cut family man, you know, who loves my wife and children is not barbarism.
Well, let me tell you, if you're raised in a home where there's in a working class environment, it doesn't, not just working class, I mean, this can be a middle class home too, but particularly in working class areas where kids are growing up in poverty, where money might be tight, there's a lot of tension in the home, there's a lot of fighting in the home, people lashing out at each other, and then these kids take this out then into the street, and then when they go to school as well, they're not learning anything particularly deep or anything spiritual or anything kind of worth the value for mathematics and the alphabet and how to read, which is all well and good, but there's no substance to the learning. Like if you look at a curriculum in Finland, the children are taught to think for themselves. And maybe if the kids talk to teens for themselves, maybe if they learn to think for themselves and stop learning things from their home or off the street, well, maybe they'd have to with a little bit more discipline and a little bit more behaviour, you know?
All right, well, listen, Conor, I have to wrap it up. Listen, I got to thank Pastor Stephen Anderson. Lots and lots of reaction coming in, Stephen, I have to say. And I'll be honest with you, it's probably about 50-50. As many people despise you as love you. Kevin O'Sullivan, by the way, says he also doesn't teach his kids about evolution. Listening to Steve for an hour, and one word comes to mind, failure. Obviously, Stephen, you don't teach your kids about evolution because you don't believe in evolution, so you don't.
Of course I don't, but my children are well aware of evolution. I'm sure they could explain the theory to you and why it's wrong.
All right. Well, Stephen, I'm sure we could argue about that all night. That's a whole other topic, isn't it?
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, listen, Stephen, thank you very much indeed. Pastor Stephen Anderson, there you go. A man who disciplines his children the old-fashioned way and believes that's the way we should be doing it. And look, you know, I have to say, I don't agree with...
Pastor?
Yes?
Listen, thanks a million for coming on, okay? I know you got a bit of stick there, but...
Yeah, no, perfect, yeah. On, okay? No, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
I'm sure we'll definitely talk to you again anyway, hopefully.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, see you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.